is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber, this is Always in Fashion, and this is a night, while I won't walk the line, I will talk the line. I have my own reasons that this topic inspired me to write this show. Did you ever think about a line? Simple word. We've always lived with it. We've always been around the word line. We always seen and always integrated the lines into our life, our business, everything we do. I was walking the other day in the city, introspective, looking down at the concrete, thinking about life and who I am, when I noticed the line separating the concrete on the floor. This is Always in Fashion, and I do belong to the city, and I do have concrete under my feet, and I'm looking down and being introspective and thinking about where I belong. I also belong to the human race, and believe it or not, those lines I saw on the street got me thinking about the importance that a line plays, a part of everything that we do, and I'm going to talk about that tonight, a line. A line is a point in geometry. It's a location. It has no size, no width, no length, and no depth. A point is shown by a dot. A line is defined as a line of points that extend infinitely in two directions. The line is in our lives, if you think about it. We've all used or given or got pickup lines. Are we honest or we give them a line of you-know-what? Sometimes lines are imaginary. President Obama drew a line in the sand. Sometimes they are delineated, a borderline. Separating property, states, or most importantly, countries, a borderline. You walk the line, a goal or an outlined path. A subway line, a line of computer code. Medicine, an Ivy line, a line of clothing for you fashion listeners depicting a brand or a collection. Staying with fashion, an A-line skirt begins at the hips. It flares out to the waist and then down to the knee. Hence, an A-line looks like a triangle. There's a sewing line, a manufacturing line. That's the fashion part. But what about waiting on line? For those of you who go out at night, a line of Coke. I'm not endorsing it, but it's there in our vocabulary. Then, of course, you're crossing the line. I saw a headline recently. Roseanne Barr crossed the line, and ABC draws one. A straight line, the shortest distance between two points. Talking TV, by the way, the famous TV show, What's My Line? About what do you do for a living? And a line of thought. Life is a fine line. And that's the theme for tonight's show, a fine line. Talking straight and walking a fine line and a straight line, my son Jesse and co-host. Hey, Jesse Weber. Welcome tonight.
That's a boring definition for me. I walk a straight line. That's really boring. That's why you describe me. I wouldn't even want to listen to me.
Hey, my favorite question to you. What do you think of this topic?
My favorite answer to your favorite question. I am always amazed at how you take something that nobody really thinks about and you turn it into a whole show. And that's pretty clever. You know, you take a line. It's a word that everybody uses probably in their life more than they ever think about. And you have dedicated an entire show for it. It's interesting. I've paid attention this past year to how you come up with these shows and the themes for the shows. Breakfast. You were walking down the street and you saw a sign for breakfast. The billboards were in Las Vegas. You see Andrew Dice Clay. Became a whole show in Vegas, a whole episode that we did. And even the show I'm Thinking, which we did a long time ago, same way, you're walking down the street, saw things. I think it's really fascinating from a creative perspective. Can I call you? I guess you're an artist in a way. You're an artist, how you come up with this creative stuff just by living your life. Isn't that how inspiration always happens?
I'm the Radio Picasso.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Tonight, we're going to talk the concept of the fine line. Always in fashion, the name of the show and my background came in fashion could lead one to believe this is a fashion show. One of the producers here said one night a great line that I've adopted to part of the show, and he said, success is always in fashion. And that, in effect, is what this show is. A show dedicated to success in your career and success in life. Throw in the excitement of the fashion world and industry, and you have an interesting business lifestyle show. I want to talk to you while we're talking lines, first abstract versus linear. There are two kinds of people in the world. There's a linear person, a person who thinks. We're talking about the way they think. There's a person who goes straight from one place to the other to come up with a thought. Here's a problem. Here's the answer. They get right to it. And it's very effective, but not the only way. There's an abstract way, someone that thinks creatively about all the choices involved in making a decision and gets to the end the same place but does it differently. That's what I'm talking about. So therefore, in business, there's a fine line. And honesty is a fine line. Do you walk it or cross over it? I have a great story to tell you. I had a friend in the UK. I worked with him. He worked for one of the brands that I was supporting. He had his own business and he was a licensed partner of that brand. We gave him the right to manufacture products in the UK and around the globe, particularly, though, in Europe, to use my brand that I represented. As the story goes, a big part of distribution, a big part of a brand management is where your products get sold. If you're running a class brand, if you're running a luxury brand, the only thing you care about is that the customers that you sell to, who in turn find the ultimate consumer, are in keeping with what you think. In the UK, you want to sell Harrods or Selfridges. In New York, you want to sell, if you're luxury, you want to sell Barney's. Or you want to sell Nordstrom's new men's store. You may even want to sell Macy's or Lord & Taylor. You certainly don't want to sell to the discounters. That's not your first choice. Very often, you end up selling merchandise to discounters because you just have too much of it. You have to be really good planners. And those of you who go into Marshall's or Burlington or TJ Maxx, you see that there's a lot of merchandise, generally speaking, but not assorted. It's a potpourri of those things that come from a different brand. It's really what's left over. That's the idea of selling surplus. And you have a luxury brand, you need to protect it. So back to a fine line and my friend in the UK. We became close. I understood exactly what was going on in his business. And one day one of the people came to me and said, you know, there's an awful lot of merchandise being sold to some store we never heard of. And when we went to check it out, it was a storefront, but they really didn't have the ability to sell $1 million worth of our product. It just wasn't making sense. How could they be buying $1 million worth or selling $1 million worth of product if the storefront didn't generate that kind of business? So I went to see my friend. I was in London. I sat down with him. And we started to talk, and he said, look, I have a lot of customers. I don't know who they all are. I'll check it out. But of course, Mark, you should understand, I only sell to the approved distribution. And on face value, I took him and understood it. And I believed him. And I went back and I told my people, listen, I got to trust him. I think he's an honest guy. Let's fast forward to about 2 months later. I'm back in the UK. I was scheduled to go home on a trip. And what happened, I needed to spend a couple of more days in the UK. So I happened to call him and said, you want to have dinner? And sure enough, he said, sure, Mark, I'm having dinner with another guy. You'll really find him fascinating. Why don't you come and we'll have dinner together? So we went and had dinner. I really liked this guy. We ate in, do you remember the name, Jesse, of that place we ate, the Italian restaurant we really liked in the UK?
Cipriani's. They have it here in New York.
Yeah, you're right. We've
Best
been there.
Best cake in the world.
Well, now we're in your venue. You might know nothing about lines, but you certainly know your cake.
I don't know where to draw the line with how much to eat. I think I ate your slice, too.
How do you stay so skinny and fit?
Because I wait for those moments, and I eat pretty
healthy.
You're
choosing carefully.
Yeah, I choose carefully.
Okay, so anyway, we talk about crossing the line. So I'm with my friend. We're in the UK. He invited me to dinner. He's there with this other guy, and we start to talk. And it turns out, what does this guy do for a living? He says, I'm in unique business. I said, oh, really? What is that? He says, I own a warehouse, million square feet. And what I do is anybody who has product they want to sell to someone else, they sell it to me, and I sell it to someone else. Let's stop for a minute. In the world of fashion, in the world of fragrance, in the world of reality, there's a gray market for product. It's deniability. You know, you sell to this guy, he in turn sells it, and then anybody sees your product in the wrong place. I didn't sell it to him. I don't know how it got there. He's diverting the product to here and other places in the United States. And I'm listening to this, and I'm watching it, and he starts to talk, and he said, yeah, sometimes I have storefronts, and my radar goes back up. And he starts telling me about the huge business. He's doing $45 to $50 million of shipping products from other people that they don't want to ship themselves. And here I am having dinner with my friend who assured me on the trip earlier, a month or so earlier, that, you know, that storefront that I couldn't define, the one that I told my people, let's believe in him, he wouldn't lie to me. I just found the guy who is owning that storefront and diverting my product. And he crossed the line. There is no coming back from dishonesty. You walk the line of honesty. The minute you cross over it, you can't come back. No amount of apologies, no amount of sorries, no amount of anything will ever make you or allow you to trust that person ever again. And while he remained my friend, I never believed a word that came out of his mouth because he crossed the line. Jesse, how would I know when someone is lying?
Well, him in particular, whenever his lips were moving.
That is correct. And with that, don't cross that line. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Roper. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserve to feel comfortable in their shoes and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes. But more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose, the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Thank you. This is Mark Weber, and this is Always in Fashion. It is the summertime, school is out, and our show tonight is about a simple thought, a fine line. I'm fascinated by the word a line. I was walking in the city the other day, I looked down at the concrete, I saw the lines in the concrete, and I said, I'm going to do a show about lines. And here we are. And one of my favorite lines, why did I play that song from Alice Cooper? Not only do I know Alice Cooper, I played golf with him. He's a very good guy. But that's not why. Here's one of my favorite lines. Youth is wasted on the young. Although I'm a genius now, all the experience that life has taught, all the lessons behind me, like everyone else when I was young, sometimes I was an idiot. Youth was wasted on the young. I didn't appreciate school, and I didn't appreciate what life was giving me when I was a kid. I just didn't. Well, like I said, a line. Great quote. Youth is wasted on the young. Probably my greatest regret, I only have a couple in life, really not even a couple, but let's say a couple, was Spanish class. I took Spanish as a language. Why did you take Spanish, by the way?
I felt it was the most useful. You know, I'm not going to be speaking French. What was the other one? Italian was beautiful, but again, Spanish was everywhere.
Yeah, you know, when I was young and single, running around, I went on vacations, and wherever there were palm trees and wherever there was happiness, it seemed to be places people speaking Spanish. I liked the language, and I thought it would be great. But unfortunately, we're talking about lines. Youth was wasted on the young, and it's one of the greatest lessons I ever learned. You see, I took Spanish for 7 years, started in, I think, seventh grade, and ended up in college with a few semesters. And the sum total of all of that is, estudio español para 7 años para hablar nada, which basically means I studied school 7 years of Spanish and I can't speak it. And I am sorry about it because I wasted that time. But really, this is not about Spanish. It's about youth being wasted. My great line here. One of the most important things a line represent is math.
Yikes.
Yikes, math, exactly. That's why we started with school's out for summer. Calculus. I was great in math till we got to calculus. Oh my gosh, that's when I lost it. Algebra, geometry, everything else I was great at. But I got to calculus and I said, you know what? I'm not interested. When will I ever use that? Let's hold that for a second. Okay. I went to business. I never focused much on math. I was a designer. Who needs math? I'll never forget the first time I got caught up in this is my boss said, you know, you're a great designer, but if you don't learn business, you're never going to be anything. Unless you learn the math, you're never going to be anything. So the first thing I did after he gave me this lesson, being how smart I was, you know, I said I'm a genius now, is I went to one of our first board meetings where the CEO of the company was there presiding over a group of people, and I brought my calculator. After all, if I'm going to show that I'm a math whiz, I ought to have a calculator. So I'm in the meeting, and an issue came up on markup. You know, what you pay for a product, what does it cost you, versus what you sell it for, how much markup do you make? How much profit is there? So there's CEO of the company sees my calculator and he says, hey, Mark, we bought this product that cost $100. I want to sell it for $150. How much markup am I making there? That's the silence you heard. I had no idea. My boss was there. He was looking. He started to laugh because just carrying a calculator into the meeting doesn't make you a math whiz. And the point of the story is I learned my lesson. If you're going to talk math, you better learn it. You know math, Jess?
You know what a famous line is that attorneys say?
What?
They say, we went to law school because we're not good at math.
Okay, well, we're going to see about that in a minute. But here's the point I want to make to all of you. We're discussing lines tonight. And one of the most famous of all is the shortest distance between two points is a line. So if you want to be efficient, you want to understand what a line is. Then, of course, youth is wasted on the young, which is what we're talking about if you're just tuning in right now. The subject is a line, and youth is wasted on the young. That's what we're talking about. Why do I need calculus? Why do I need algebra? Why do I need anything? Well, because you mutants out there, while you're in school, you can tell me you don't need anything, but math you must have. Just think about it in our daily life. Do you understand degrees? the degree of difficulty in math? Hey, the military. The military is all about math, but I'll give you a simple one. I got your six. What does that mean?
So if you're looking forward, it's like a clock. Forward is 12 o'clock and behind you would be six.
So therefore?
Who's behind you? I got your back.
Exactly. Then, of course, there's angles. Hey, you know what? You get to that corner, make a 90-degree turn, and you'll know exactly where the place I'm sending you to is. It's in your life. Perpendicular. Hey, you know what perpendicular is?
Yeah, it's like a right angle from you, right?
Yes, sir. Not too bad. And then, of course, there's percentages. Let's talk about percentages.
Let's not talk about percentages.
Because in life, you're always doing math. I'm having a car serviced right now. Okay? The guy says to me it's going to cost $1,000 plus tax. Okay? What's it going to cost me, Jesse? I'm giving you a math test now, being that you're getting out of it.
I had a feeling. What? Say that again.
He said it's going to cost me $1,000 plus tax. How much is it going to cost me?
How much is the tax?
What do you mean? You live in New York. What's the tax?
I don't know.
There you go. The first thing you need to know is math, 8.5%. So what's it going to cost me?
80.
What?
800.
How much?
Wait, what was the question? How much was it? $1,000?
Yeah.
Plus tax, 8%?
8.5.
Oh, my gosh. 85.
$80.50. $80.50. Okay, you were very close. I think that's right. Okay, while we're doing this, being that we're doing this, the producer's laughing. You like this test for Jesse? All right, let's do this one. We all shop. Do you know what BOGO is?
Buy out, go out.
Buy one, get one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give it easy math to you. If you buy BOGO, buy one at regular price, get the other at 50 off.
Uh-huh.
Easy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you're buying something for $100. What are you paying for the other one?
Buy one, get the other one half off. You get 50.
So what did you pay for it?
You're going to pay $150.
For the two? For
yep.
the one? For what?
For both of them.
So what they each cost you?
It's going to be 25% of the total, right?
It's 25% off of the total. So right. What did the total cost you? What did each shirt cost you? Let's say it was a shirt.
75? Is that right?
Yeah, very good, Jesse, although yeah. You don't seem very confident.
I'm not confident at all. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, we're leading you there. Let's try another one. I'm going to stay with easy math. $100.
Okay?
$100, and there's a sign in there. You see a pair of shoes, you like them, and it's 25 off. What is it going to be? Cost you?
Wait. 25% off that, it's going to be $75.
Very good. Should I ask you with tax what it's going to be?
No. Please, no.
This is funny. I'm enjoying this. The point of the story is here that math, lines, all of these things in life are incredibly important. So when you're sitting in school and thinking about, what do I need to know this for? First of all, don't carry a calculator in unless you do your homework. Number two, it's really important to understand math. Math is all about lines and angles, and it's the one thing in school that I can assure you, no matter what else you learn, you're going to need math. With that, we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and Jesse's going back to college.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion, and my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand, made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant. Yet they're for every day, high quality and low maintenance, the true foundation of timeless wardrobe, something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Aquitalia's latest collection at aquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Aquitalia, AQUATALIA. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof. The best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
This is Mark Weber with Jesse Weber. And tonight, while I'm not walking the line, although maybe I am, I'm certainly talking the line. Tonight, the show is an introspective show about a simple thought, a fine line. Lines play a very important part of our life. And I've been thinking about the ways we use lines in life, business. I'm being very introspective. I said in the opening of the show, if you stayed with us, I would share what my inspiration, why is this cerebral approach happening on tonight's show? I've been doing a lot of walking, thinking about life. I want to play something for you from the movies. Here's Jack Nicholson, Something's Gotta Give, talking about his life.
So I decided to take another kind of trip into, let's call it, my past.
Your past?
I thought if I visited some of the women that I'd known that maybe I could figure out how I arrived at being me.
Wow.
Wow, yeah, it was quite a journey. Some of the ladies, I admit, weren't too interested in seeing me or even speaking to me. But one day, my losing streak ended. One of them opened up to me. Hearing what she had to say was no picnic, but I stuck it out and I listened, and then I listened harder. And one of the things I realized was I was actually giving closure to generations of women.
Thank
when you.
You
hear the same story about yourself over and over, your life begins to add up. It took me months to find them all. Visited a dozen different states, but I traveled the farthest to see you.
Now, my story has nothing to do with women. It has to do with my career. I wasn't supposed to have this career. Hold that thought. As I think about what I've achieved, I think about the choices I've made. Did I walk the straight line? Do what's right only? Maybe I stepped over the line. After all, it's a fine line. Once you cross it, you can't go back. No, I've thought about all my career choices. My career moves, and I can live with them. I can sleep at night because I know I never crossed the line. But for my own reasons, I'm now walking and thinking. I'm replaying those decisions I've made, just like Jack. I've thought a great deal about giving back, charity, time, saying thank you for my success. However, to be perfectly honest, not for very long. Nope, that's not for me. No, no, no. I don't owe giving back for my success. Nobody gave me anything. I did it myself. Yes, I had mentors along the way. Yes, I had smart people teaching me. Yes, yes, and yes. Do I have to give anything back? No, I'm not that good. Now, while I'm saying this, just so you all don't hate me, sometimes I take a negative slant here and I get your comments back. I do give charity. I do give money to causes and to people that I think make sense to give for whatever the reasons I have. But I am not a charitable person when it comes to giving back. I'm not interested. But I am interested in thoughts and closure. I'm interested in the simple times I remember growing up, and it's appealing to me. And because the show is about lines, a very important line of thought. I grew up in Brooklyn, never felt I had a chance, always thought the cards were stacked against me, but I believed in me. When I looked in the mirror and I thought about my upbringing and I thought about what was in front of me, while I didn't know anything about anything, I felt this country offered me a chance for success. But then I thought, what changed things for me? What was the line I walked to have a measure of success? And it took me back to Brooklyn College because my education made a difference. And I thought about, what if I go back to Brooklyn College and give back to the students? Now, when I wrote the second book, my second book, Always in Fashion, I went on a book tour. I spent a particularly amount of interest and time in going to schools, and I lectured throughout New York City, a lot of the fashion schools. I went to Wharton. I did different things to talk about the book, but really talk about success, because my book was always about how do you achieve success even when you're not supposed to have it. So when I was thinking about Brooklyn College, it wasn't so much to give back to the students. No, I had books to sell, speeches to practice, and students to teach if they wanted to learn from me. I don't believe it was charitable, but that's for you to decide. But I did go to Brooklyn College, and I made a speech. My sons were with me, Jared and Jesse. They heard me do it. The professors there were blown away because my story is a great story. I spoke to the students. I had a good time. And I said, I'm going to do this for me. But in turn, hopefully these people are going to learn something along the way. So I offered to help Brooklyn College. And one of the professors decided to make my book part of their lecture series. They thought it was an interesting study in fashion and luxury and marketing. And they would use the book and the radio show for a course taught at Brooklyn College. And I would come in once or twice a semester and talk to the students. And that was the plan. I no longer was selling books to Brooklyn College. I was selling a concept. I was walking a fine line. Listen to me, students. Pay attention, and you too might have the success I had. No one's going to give it to you, but you have to fight for it. So when I got up in front of an audience, after I was introduced, after they outlined two CEOs, two books, all the success, et cetera, the boards, the titles, I looked at them and I said, thank you for that, all of these titles, but you're looking at me and I'm you. I'm one of you. I didn't grow up pampered. I didn't grow up on a silver spoon. I grew up in your city projects in Brooklyn. Nobody was helping me. The only thing I had was my desire to be successful. And here I am making the speech to them. And I told them, no one will give you anything. You have to go out and get it for yourself. There's a fine line between business success and failure. But the right side of this line is America. And I've been troubled by what I saw at Brooklyn College. If they're listening, I'm sure they're going to get angry. I saw a class made up of some very interested, bright-eyed students, and at least half the class was angry. They didn't look happy. They didn't like what I was saying. Maybe they didn't believe me. Maybe they thought the world dealt them a bad hand. I don't know what it was, but I was uncomfortable. And the more I talked, the more I realized how much of socialism is going on in college campuses. I shouldn't be surprised listening to Bernie Sanders, listening to that new woman who showed up on the political scene in New York. The idea that the government would step in and give you everything is troubling to me. I don't believe in it. I believe people need to work. I think a job gives people dignity. It's such a tremendous reward to work, get a paycheck, and to do something to prove you can do it. Absolutely. And I told them what I thought and what I've told you all along. Nobody is going to give it to you. You have to earn it yourself. Nobody ever said the world is fair. you have to turn fair to your side. You have to make yourself right. You have to go to school. You're in a good school. You can learn. You have to pay attention. Enjoy your schooling. You have to learn how to speak. You have to learn how to write. Both the written and spoken word are important. You have to learn how to present yourself, how you tell your story. You have to smile. You have to figure out what looks best on you, how to dress. You have to be pleasant. All of these things and a million others have to be done right to find a measure of success. But the first thing you need to do is recognize that you need to do it. There's a fine line between success and failure. So I went to Brooklyn College. I did my thing. I had them listen to me. I answered every single question, and my 40-minute presentation turned out to be 3 hours. And while I was not there to give back, it made me feel good to say these things to people that I thought needed to hear it. Except for a few months later, something happened on Brooklyn College. The students or the faculty of Brooklyn College decided that if they would no longer let the police on their campus to use the bathroom in their facilities, they would no longer let the police. The minute I heard that, I was through teaching at Brooklyn College. That's a line I won't cross. Be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber from Always in Fashion. I've talked to you before about the Van Heusen Flex Collar shirt, a shirt that moves with you when you move, the unbelievably comfortable Flex Collar expandable collar. I have great news from you from Van Heusen. They have now expanded from Flex Collars to an entire collection of men's sportswear, pants, knitwear, and of course the Flex Collar dress shirt. If you're a casual Friday company, you still have to look right. You're still in business. You're still competing with everyone else around you. Now you could do it in style and comfort. Pants with stretch fabric and stretch technology that allow you to be comfortable whatever your activities are that day. And all the shirts and all the sportswear that you can now buy under that Flex collection are uniquely you. Great looking style, great comfort from Van Heusen, the Flex collection.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Everybody get up.
Beat. Maybe people who didn't intend to listen to talk radio tonight just came and tuned in and stayed with it because of that song. But we're talking about a fine line tonight. I've been thinking, very introspective, walking down the street in New York City, looked down at the concrete, saw lines in the concrete, started thinking about the word lines, straight line, blurred lines, cross the line, draw a line. Interesting stuff. Being, though, that we're in the fashion business, I figured maybe, just maybe, I had a story to tell you about a line of clothing or a collection line. You up for that, Jesse?
I do. I am. Let's do it.
Okay. You had a question for me, you said before. What did you want to ask me?
Yeah, it was interesting. We were talking about lines and everything, and I thought about, not if it's better, but what do you think about when people have a straight line to their career? They start in a company and they make it all the way to the top. They go through position, position, position. It's a straight line to the top. Or people, which I see now more more today, especially entrepreneurs and young people doing this, they go from different career, they roundabout, they don't go the straight line to get to where they ultimately end up. What do you think about the difference between that?
Well, I talked about abstract and linear before. Linear people, the way they think, they go from one point to point B to point A, straight line, it's fast, it's efficient. And then there's the abstract thinkers who meander a bit. They're very creative. They start to think about other solutions to solve a problem. Takes them a while. They think about a lot of different things. Probably an interesting journey in their mind getting to where they are, and they get to the same answer. That's probably how I would answer you. I would have loved to wake up one morning and be a clerk and become the CEO of the public company easily. Wouldn't that be great? Actually, the guy I worked for did it. He was brilliant. The day I met him, he said to me, "Mark, I need you to listen and be there for me. Every day I want you to follow me around because there's nothing more important than you learning what I'm doing because I'm going to the top and the only way I can get there is if you follow me." He knew it and he did it. I, however, have more color in my life, I think, than he did. I suffered. I made mistakes. I paid a price, but I also learned a great deal and I enjoyed getting to the top the hard way. So the answer to your question, Jesse, I think perhaps having the obstacles, things thrown in your way, having to navigate around them, making mistakes, startups and failures, what you do, I've said this before, great quote from General George Patton, "It's not how far you fall, it's how high you bounce back." I think that makes for a more interesting time, but that doesn't make me right. That's just one opinion. And having said it, I would rather have the easier time.
Yeah.
Screw the knowledge.
Yeah, because there are people who wake up, they're like, "I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a police officer. I want to be this. I want to be that." They know the career path.
People that wake up and know exactly what they want to do are the lucky ones.
Yeah.
They don't have to fool around. They know what they want to be. They figure out their calling. There's so many people out there in their 20s graduating for college, they don't know. Hey, you and your brother had no idea what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I insisted you guys go to law school. At least you get a law education, a law language, getting background, getting training. It made you sophisticated. You at 24 years old were so much more sophisticated than I was. I was like, I just fall out of a tree. I didn't know anything. I knew how to go out on a date. Other than that, I knew nothing. You guys were trained to be humans in the real business world, and I was nothing. That's why it took me longer. But I want to go back. The subject tonight is line. The word line, a line, has so many facets in our lives. And I want to talk about a clothing line. I'll tell you why. This fashion show, people say, anyway, the name is fashion. It's really a business show. I have on the side, as you know, Jesse, you're part of it, a consulting practice. And I got a call the other day. Somebody asked me a question. And I thought about it. I thought it was an interesting question, talking about clothing lines. And they said, "How can a brand be successful if it doesn't have a point of view?" Do you think all the brands you know, Jesse, have a point of view?
Do they or should they?
I'll take either answer.
I think they should, but not all do.
Okay. So I started to think about it, and I said, of course, any company needs a point of view. Any company without a point of view will flounder, and it won't be successful. Now, you could have a great point of view, and it still might not make sense in the environment. You know, it's fascinating. Sometimes the companies with the greatest innovation, the ones that are first, don't make it. What was the name of that precursor to Facebook?
MySpace.
Finished. They were brilliant. They were the first out there.
Yeah.
Now they had a point of view, but gone.
Now it's just serial killers and people who have bands.
Then this Palm Pilot, the first personal device, first smartphone, whatever, gone.
BlackBerry,
struggling. So you could have a point of view. You could be first. You could be ingenious, clever, but a business strategy comes into play. So should you have a point of view? Yes, but is it enough? Now, we're talking lines, and I'm talking clothing lines right now, and I started to think about it and how to answer this person's question. So the first thing I thought about is I spent all this time at Louis Vuitton. I was there for 9 years, part of their executive committee in Paris, learned a lot about that brand and the 62 other brands that are in the group. I thought about Louis Vuitton. If I asked you, Jesse, what is Louis Vuitton's point of view? Louis, let me say it differently. Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton. Mm-hmm. What's the point of view?
Luxury. And I think that they are about a higher lifestyle.
Fascinating. But Louis Vuitton was a luggage maker. They're a travel company. Their first products were steamer trunks. You know what a steamer trunk is?
No.
The first form of intercontinental transportation was steamships going from the UK to New York or back and forth. And the fluent, the richest people that traveled first class on these steamships brought their luggage in steamer trunks. They're big, beautiful, hardcore trunks that had spaces for everything. You could hang your suits or your dresses. They had compartments for your shoes, compartments for your underwear, your makeup, your jewelry. They were works, a marvel of efficiency and beauty and durability. And Louis Vuitton was one of the first luggage makers to the most affluent people in France and ultimately Europe. And that's their point of view. When you look at them as a brand, that's their core essence. Now, have they widened their interest? Have they expanded their interest? Absolutely. They make apparel, they make shoes, they make everything now because they were able to transfer their business into a lifestyle for, as you said, luxury, affluent people. It's a great thought, but they had a point of view. Hermès. You like that brand?
Not personally, but yeah.
Yeah, it seems removed for me too. Do you want to know why? Do you know what their point of view is? They were saddle makers to the aristocracy.
I would never have guessed that.
That's what they're known for. That's how they became who they became, making saddles. That's why they're affiliated with leather. That's why orange is their color, because the saddles they made had this orangey leather color. And that's why when you look closely at a lot of their ads, you'll always see references to leather, orange, or horses. That's how they became this luxury brand, because they were communicating with the aristocracy. And from there, they grew their lifestyle brand. Now, you take Nike on the other extreme, just do it. Nike was a shoe brand, sneakers designed for athletes or people who wanted to have the opportunity to behave like athletes. Sure, Michael Jordan and the greatest athletes of our time wore their products, and that's where they spent the money. They didn't spend a lot of money on advertising, if you think about it. When you look at Nike, they spent their money on endorsing athletes. And to this day, I can't remember the last time I saw a Nike TV commercial, but I do see Roger Federer, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, and a million other guys wearing and gals wearing these things. Nike is a sports brand. That's their point of view. And of course, Under Armour, and of course, Adidas, who grew up probably around the same time, maybe a little later than Nike in Europe, in Germany, did their own thing. They became sports brands. And to this day, they have a point of view. So Jesse, a point of view on a line, clothing line. What do you think?
Well, there's a few that came to my mind. So I was thinking about the Gap in Old Navy. I don't know what they're trying to be, who they're trying to sell to, and what the product is supposed to mean and to who. That's what I think. I think they keep changing it to get a new customer base, but it's just not working.
Well, Old Navy is fashion at a price. I think they try and be a discounter better than other discounters. And Gap, I'm lost. That used to be my store. I loved it. I have more things in my closet at one time from Gap than anything ever in the history of clothes. But now, why?
But
where
yet,
do they reserve?
But now when you have Zara, H&M, Uniqlo, that's relatively affordable clothing, and it has a style that has a presence. I know what they're going for, not Old Navy and Gap. It's the same thing with Skechers. You know, I look at, you talked about athletic brands, Adidas, Nike. Those are shoes you can wear out all the time, and you're proud to wear those shoes. It's cool. It's a part of a look. Skechers, what am I going for here? And I don't know who they're going for.
I don't either.
So, yeah.
So this is interesting, this perception of what is a line and what a point of view means. For me, it became an issue with the Van Heusen brand. Van Heusen was the first brand that I ever fell in love with. I used to say if you would open up my shirt, you would see the Van Heusen brand tattooed over my heart. And going back a ways, here I am. I was in charge of the Van Heusen brand. My first presidency was president of the Van Heusen Shirt Company. But Van Heusen made shirts And I'll never forget that I took over the advertising of the company, what they called the heritage brands at the time, brands like G.H. Bass Shoe Company, Izod, Van Heusen, to name a few. And I took over, and I was responsible for the marketing, in particular now the advertising, and what to do. I knew I could create beautiful images. I knew I could make the brands look more expensive than they were. I knew I could win the hearts and minds of people. But what is a Van Heusen? And I could never get my arms around it. There's some great campaigns that preceded me. One of my favorite was, it was a two-page spread in a magazine where on one side, a guy is opening his shirt. On the other side, his back is there. And what it said was, what a changing America is changing into, Van Heusen. I thought it was a great commercial. I voted for it when I saw it the first time. What a great ad. I loved it. I loved it, loved it. And now a few years later, I'm in charge of what to do. I'll never forget. Now, you, those of you turning in or tuning in, the question was, can a brand be successful without a point of view? And I'm going through great detail here to explain to you how brands generally have a point of view. So back to Van Heusen. I'll never forget, there was a woman on our board. When I met her, she was in the late 70s, and at this point in time, she was in her 80s. May she rest in peace. Her name was Estelle Ellis. Estelle Ellis was a marketing guru in the 80s and 90s, I guess. Let me think about that. In the 90s, she was a marketing girl when I knew her. Had a point of view. She sat on the board of PVH, Phillips Van Heusen. I always remember the other board members would get frustrated with her because whenever the conversations would come about the state of the business, she'd be talking from a marketing point of view. And the lawyers and the business and the accountants would roll their eyes because all they wanted to do was talk about the financial side. But she was a genius in her own way. She knew how important it was to build brands. And I really liked her. And because I was a creative guy, even though I may have been the president of the company at the time, I had a creative bent. And she and I were like words and music. We had something together in the sense that we could talk each other's language. When I used to start a board meeting and I put all the magazines and all the ads on the table, mostly the executives would push them to the side. She would open every one of them and look at them. And I enjoyed that with her. And we spent a lot of time talking. One day I told her I'm frustrated that I needed to take over Van Heusen and I didn't know what to do with it. And she looked at me and she said, so simply, without a moment's hesitation, shirts for men. The biggest shirt company in the world, Van Heusen, shirts for men. Brilliant and simple. What a point of view. And for the next 5 years, I was in charge of the advertising, and boy, was I creative. I did beautiful ads, beautiful models, beautiful shirts, beautiful settings. Very, very directional shirt advertising, the likes of which I don't think anyone has ever copied. Now, am I self-serving here? Yeah, but I could prove it. You have to see the ads. Shirts for men, point of view, brilliant in its own thing. So when you think about a line of clothing, and you think about brands who start with swimsuits and try and become lifestyle, when you think about shoe companies that try and be more than shoe companies, the answer to that person's question is yes. A brand should have a point of view. Your line should have a point of view. Your collection line should have a point of view. And as I said earlier tonight, I'm being very introspective, thinking about the word line. And with that, I'll come back in a minute and give you another line.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's Donna Karan, New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color, just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement, simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story, and DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great. Now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's or online. Go find it. I'm telling you. This is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there. I know how good it is.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Mm-hmm.
much on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that bind. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
This is Mark Weber, and I walk the line. We all walk a fine line, a line between right and wrong. We walk a line between doing the right things or not. Sometimes we cross over the line. Our careers have a path. We have a choice of which line to follow. Our lives are defined by the lines we get on and where they may take us. Some of us wait online, and some of us cut the line. Lines take us to math, and math adds up. The calculations are there. What is the payback for a college education? What is the payback for being honest in our work, for understanding the political choices? How important family and parenting is. Lots of lines to be drawn. The life we live, the path we choose, is a fine line. And tonight, we walk the line.
To keep me on your side, you give me calls for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. See you next week.